Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, we'll pick up where we were last week. I'll read verse 1 through 3, and then 7 through 9. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And our text for today, verse 7 through 9, "And they departed, and Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold," or hey, everybody knows that they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. "But what went you out for to see? A prophet? I say unto you, and more than a prophet." Heavenly Father, help us today to understand your word, and give us a heart to believe it and obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. And as I've said, I've taught extensively about John the Baptist, so most of this we've already covered. But he says to the people, Jesus did, he asked them, okay, everybody's heard about John, but what did y'all go to see? A reed shaken with the wind, or hey, you know, kind of a flash in the pan, or hey, this is popular this week. You know, it's got a lot of hits on YouTube or whatever. Let's go watch this thing or whatever for the entertainment value. No. No, John wasn't just entertainment. And he says, okay, but why'd you go out to see him? Because he's got nice, flashy clothes? No, actually, he was clothed in hair, and he ate locusts. He wasn't anything that anybody would really want to go see. They went for other reasons. His message was the reason. But he asks it a third time, but what did y'all go out there to see? Y'all went to see a prophet? Okay, that's a better answer, and in fact, he's more than a prophet. And again, we've studied about John. I don't want to chase those rabbits again today. But I want to focus on the fact that he asked this question, hey, what did y'all go to see when y'all went to see John? He asked it three times. If God says something once or asks you something once, that's probably important. If he says it twice, well, hey, this time, he asked this question three times. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." It says in the epistles that all Scripture, your entire Bible is inspired by God, and it's profitable. It's profitable for you. And we ought to learn from it and obey it and let it guide us through life. But Jesus asked his question 3 times. During the judges, during the time of the judges, and a lot of what Judges is about is the people are doing okay, and then they drift off into sin. And a judge has to come along and say, hey, y'all need to stop doing that, let's live right. And occasionally there would be armies or whatever that would come against Israel, and the judges were instrumental in rallying the people, getting them to trust in God, and then the armies were defeated. But Judges chapter 5, verse 1, then sang Deborah and Barak the son of Abinoam on that day, saying, and I won't read all what they sang, but it was a song or a psalm or something like that, testifying of what God did, trusting in what God did, commemorating what God did. And Deborah was a judge. She led Israel. A woman led Israel in that day. But God said to her, awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Utter a song and arise, and Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Deborah and Barak, they were the people that God used, and they brought deliverance to Israel. But it says, awake, 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 awake. He said it 4 times to Deborah. Hey, wake up, pay attention, what have you. Jesus asked his question 3 times. Deborah gets called by God to awaken and pay attention 4 times. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31, and I won't read the passage that everyone knows. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother, what, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows. And then there's instructions, and we'll go over that in a little bit. The king's wife asked of her son 3 times, what? What is it all about? And each time the focus is deeper, and it speaks of a greater relationship and dedication. What, my son? Well, that's a relationship. She's talking to her son. What? The son of my womb. And again, that speaks of a deeper relationship. And what? The son of my vows. Which is when she prayed to God and asked for this son and what have you. A deeper focus and a greater relationship. Again, you shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And when God says something more than once, and in this case there's a progression when it's asked 3 times, hey, what's this all about, my son? Or hey, son, hey, son, hey, son, listen, I've got something to say. Again, when God says something more than once, we ought to pay attention. And everybody knows the passage about the virtuous woman, and I'm not going to read that. But I'll read what was said before. Verse 3 again, Proverbs chapter 31. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. We went over this a few weeks ago, that it's God that shows us in His Word to care for people. And the king, he's the top of the heap. It's his job to care for everyone. And the king's mother, she says, hey, it's not for you. Everybody else can drink, but it's not for you. And your princes, make sure that they don't get involved in drinking either, because you can forget the law. You can forget God's word. And the people that you're supposed to protect and care for, they'll get forgotten. Now, she says that strong drink, wine, weak drink, I guess maybe, these things have a purpose. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that have a heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, remember his misery no more. Okay, alcohol has its purpose. But if you're not careful, you can let it rule your thoughts, rule your heart. For instance, instead of being faithful to your wife, you have a habit of going to the bar on Friday and Saturday, and the next thing you know, you're divorced, because either you're a drunk, or you ended up in bed with somebody you shouldn't have been. You lose your family, your kids, your house, your reputation, your job, your life. And we all understand that, and probably we all know people that that has happened to. But she reminds him, open your mouth for the dumb, or those that don't have a voice, and they get trampled over or whatever. In the cause of all such that are appointed to destruction, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. That's the king's job, to care for the subjects. Forget about drinking, that shouldn't be a part of your life. You'll blow your ministry. But again, alcohol does have a legitimate purpose. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, apparently where he was at, Timothy was, the water was bad. And Paul said, hey, don't drink that water. Drink a little bit of wine for your stomach's sake, and thine often infirmities. The water was bad. He was sick. He kept drinking the water. He kept getting sick. Look, stop that. Drink wine instead, because wine has a purpose, and hey, you'll get better. Or to restate, you can use alcohol, but don't abuse it. That's what Mama always told us, and did we listen? No. Well, God says, you can use alcohol, but don't abuse it. And the king, his mother told him three times, hey, what's this all about? What is this all about? Don't let alcohol destroy your life. But this sermon is not going to go the way you think it's supposed to go. Bad news. Sorry about that. Matthew chapter 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, hey, take this and eat it. This is my body. We know this verse. We know this. And he took the cup that had wine in it and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, hey, drink every bit of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink this any more, the fruit of the vine, until the day that I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. Wine has a purpose. Other kinds of alcohol have a purpose, and everybody knows this is the Last Supper. Everybody knows that he drank wine. Luke 7, verse 34. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, Behold, a gluttonous man, and a wine-bibber, a drunkard, and a friend of publicans and sinners. Well, amen, Jesus is guilty. He's the friend of publicans and sinners, the guys that they drink in the bar every afternoon or every evening or on the weekends. He's a friend of those that drink. And they call him, they accuse Jesus of being a drunk too, because he ate whatever he wanted and he drank whatever he wanted. Oh, but, Pastor, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, yeah, you can take that verse out of context if you want, but if you do, you're calling Jesus a sinner, because Jesus drank wine. Paul told Timothy to drink wine. And even King Lemuel's mother said, hey, there's a use for alcohol. There's a use for it. And I've got a bunch of verses here, and we can go over them, I suppose. We know about the prodigal son. Can turn to Luke 15, I guess, and read it. Don't have time. We understand what he did. He said, I want my inheritance now. And he took his inheritance, and he went to the first bar, and a bar after that, and a bar after that, and he wasted his substance with riotous living, it says. A party atmosphere. You know, if you go to the bar with a pocket of money, you've got a lot of friends. You go the next day with an empty pocket, all those friends, they don't want to talk to you. A party atmosphere. Everybody understands the difference. I don't drink wine. I honestly can't stand it, but I understand the concept of some people. They have dinner and they'll have a glass of wine. That's different from drinking a six-pack every Saturday night or every night, whenever. That's a different thing. Don't abuse alcohol, God says. There is no verse in the Bible that says, Thou shalt not drink. It doesn't exist. It says, be wise when you use it. And hey, if you have an important job like, oh, I don't know, I'm the king and I'm going to care for everybody, stay away because it'll pervert your judgment. And we understand that alcohol perverts your judgment. We understand that you can get involved in things and in circumstances and in prison because of alcohol. The guy across the street from where I live, as I understand it, he got drunk and killed somebody, and he's still in Angola, and his house is still sitting empty all these years later. Drink responsibly. Use your head. Live right in your heart. Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Let's put this in the modern language. If you let alcohol deceive you and corrupt you and drag you down, you're an idiot. Don't do it. Everybody understands that language. But Colossians chapter 2, Paul says this, and again, I told you this sermon is not going to go the way you think it should go. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 16, and maybe we'll get to verse 23. Let no man judge you or condemn you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Those things are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. The Old Testament did say in Leviticus, hey, You know, y'all not supposed to be eating shrimp and catfish because they don't have scales, what have you. But that's Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. We're Christians. Don't let anybody tell you, hey, you can't eat pork, because that's Old Testament. Doesn't apply. We're not under the law. Don't let nobody tell you you can't eat or drink whatever you want. And it does mention drink. Don't let nobody tell you you can't drink. Because there's no verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not drink. But hear what Paul says. Don't let any man beguile you or trick you out of your heavenly reward by voluntarily giving up and following a bunch of rules. And it mentions worshiping angels or statues of angels. Don't let anybody put a bunch of rules on you about how you should dress, like the UPC and apostolics say, that what you wear is more important than going to heaven, it seems. In other words, those that preach the clothesline and say that certain things are evil and what have you, you ought to be modest, but modest doesn't mean wearing a suit and tie when you go to the beach. Use your head. But he says, all these rules, but in verse 19, nobody's beholding the head. Everybody's forgotten to look at Christ, the head of the church. It's not about rules. It's not about outward observance. It's in the heart. It's in the heart. And our focus should be Christ. And he says in verse 20 through 23, wherefore, or if you're dead in Christ from the rudiments of the world, you know, greed and stealing and lying and cheating around and whatever, you become a Christian and you know automatically, hey, I need to stop all that, what I used to do, and I need to live right and have a pure heart. Paul says, you did that. You became a disciple. Why, as though you're back in that worldly system, are you subject to ordinances or some church's book of rules? Touch not, taste not, handle not, drink not, wear not, etc., etc., etc. Because all these things are going to perish anyhow. Just as soon as you use them, they're gone. May take a while for new blue jeans to wear out, but eventually they do. Forget about all the rules and the ordinances and the commandments and doctrines of men. You end up serving men and their rules. You're not beholding the head. You're not keeping Jesus, the head of the church, in focus. And it doesn't help you in your walk with God. Forget the rules. God wants righteousness instead. Serve the Lord with gladness. Keep your heart pure, your eyes focused on Christ, and don't worry about man-made rules.
Okay, I would just like to introduce myself. I'm Joey's wife, Cindy. I just wanted to share a little bit about my ministry. We go to a nursing home. Actually, I've been going for about 20 years off and on. I was basically doing it pretty much by myself with one other person. But recently, God has blessed me tremendously by sending musicians. I have preachers. I have people helping with crafts. I have people that go get the patients in there. It's been just awesome. And so I know God wants to reach out to these people who are basically, a lot of them are on their way out. And so how urgent is it for us to minister to them? And they are so receptive, some I know for years and years. And I just see them growing, especially now. You know, they're just worshiping with us. They like to participate. They love to repeat the scriptures after us. They love it. And recently, we were blessed to have a ministry come in and do water baptisms, which was such a big deal to them. I think we did 10. And they had their gowns and, you know, they poured water over their head. And I just saw a change. They were so excited. They couldn't wait to get their certificates of water baptism, which Diane just did an awesome job on. It's just amazing what God is doing there. You know, the main thing to me now is discipling them so they can reach out to each other. It's hard to believe, but a lot of them do not get along. They don't talk to each other. They can be there for years and don't know the next one's name. So anyway, we'll encourage them. Like if somebody has a prayer request, I'll say, well, can you pray for them? At first, they're a little shy, but I really think they're getting it. So we're trying to make it where they can have their own little study or just share with each other the word, which I really see is helping them grow in the Lord. So I just give all the glory to God. With them praying and ministering to each other, I'm just watching their hearts get tender with each other. It's just really beautiful. So we have young people there. It's a different kind of nursing home. We have all ages in wheelchairs, and maybe their family can't take care of them. So it's kind of sad. But God is ministering to them. I just wanted to share a scripture in 1 John. He said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And one of the emphases in this chapter is John to say, little children, love one another. And don't we need more of that in this world, especially, and also in the body of Christ? Thanks for letting me share.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.